It's great that plastic pollution has come under the spotlight and things like straws and single-use bags are being slowly, very slowly, disappeared. But now the campaign to clean up our oceans has shifted to the ubiquitous cigarette butt, and in particular, the filter within it. In the US, cigarette butts are the single most collected human contaminant gathered from beaches. Thomas Novotny is a professor of public health at San Diego State University and the founder of the Cigarette Butt Pollution Project, and he joins us on Drive. Thomas, welcome. There's a common perception that filters make cigarettes safer, so common that pretty much a couple of people I work with today were arguing this. Isn't that what they do? Is that the case?
No, it's actually a misnomer. They're really a fraud. They're really a marketing tool. It makes it easier to smoke. It makes it less messy with particles of tobacco coming out of the end of the cigarette, and it makes it easier to draw. And there's been no evidence to show that any filters ever reduced the health risks due to smoking. In fact, because when you have a filter on the end of the cigarette, you're drawing more deeply into the periphery of the lungs, and the cell type for lung cancer has actually changed as a result of the cigarette filter on the market. The adenocarcinoma cell type is more aggressive, and that's actually gone up since filters have been there. We have less lung cancer for sure because people have quit smoking, but filters are certainly not a health device. They're misnamed, actually.
So if they serve no purpose, why would the tobacco industry want to keep them? Aren't they just an added manufacturing cost? I mean, obviously putting them on cigarette involves more time.
It's a fascinating question, actually, because actually it's cheaper to put the filter on than to put the tobacco in a longer cigarette. But that's not the real reason that they market them. They market them because it makes cigarettes easier to smoke. Makes it easier for a kid to start, for instance, because it's less harsh on your throat. You know, they symbolize this attempt to make cigarettes light or low tar, and therefore implying that there's some sort of health benefit.
So exactly how big is the problem of filter pollution then? Are they really the most littered item in the world?
Well, they're the most littered item picked up. I mean, that's how it's generally measured. All around the world, the Ocean Conservancy and other groups do litter pickups at least once a year. And cigarette butts are the single most picked up item. It's about a third of all the litter by count. Now, that doesn't mean by weight, but certainly even that's a substantial amount of waste that's, I'd say, preventable. And that's the issue, is that, you know, there's something we can do about that upstream from just picking things up. That doesn't really solve the problem, because even the million or so that they pick up each year in these cleanup campaigns doesn't touch the fact that there's 5.6 trillion cigarettes smoked every year in the world, and probably two-thirds of those are dumped somewhere in the environment.
So what are the filters made of?
It's made of cellulose acetate, which is a plastic and therefore non-biodegradable. And one might think, well, why don't they make a biodegradable?
Okay, that was my next question. Can they make a filter since they want to have them there for what you describe as reasons that don't seem fair or particularly nice? But either way, couldn't they make them of something biodegradable?
Well, they tried. There was several, many efforts in the 80s and 90s. They had a whole collaborative research effort to do this. They weren't marketable. They didn't draw the same. They didn't feel the same. They didn't taste the same. So it's not something that has been successful in the past. And my feeling is that if people had a biodegradable filter on cigarettes, they would be more prone to dump them and say that, you know, it's not hurting anything. I think the answer really is to ban the sale of filtered cigarettes, just as we're doing with the straws and plastic bags, as you pointed out. We do need to get some more information about what would happen to everybody if all of a sudden we took the filter off. Since the National Cancer Institute and our U.S. Surgeon General's reports have been very clear that the filter is not protective for health, I think it's still, we haven't done the test that says, okay, if you take the filter away, what will that do to smokers? So we've been funded recently here to do a research clinical trial to take a bunch of committed smokers and give half of them an unfiltered cigarette of the same brand as the filtered cigarette, and measure the carcinogens and excreted biomarkers that we can identify with smoking to see what it does, and also see how they feel about it. In other words, their subjective feelings. So that study will be done. It'll help us tell what would what would be the response. But what I think will be the response is that there'll be many fewer smokers. It'll be harder for kids to start, and the cigarette won't be as palatable.
And have you had any luck in California trying to get rid of them?
Yeah, I'm optimistic about that. There's been legislation proposed at the state level to ban the sale of filtered cigarettes three times. Each time it's gotten a few more votes in the committee where it's been considered. And I hope that when we get this study done and some other things that we're doing to show what kind of chemical contamination of soil and water and storm drains results from tobacco product waste, that we'll have more of a chance at this. The tobacco industry continues to fund legislators that influence their opinion. Small businessmen complain vigorously about how this was going to wipe out their business. But here in California, our prevalence of smoking is down to 12%. And these businessmen would be well advised to look to the future. It's going to go down more. People are going to stop smoking, and there's going to be a lot less market for tobacco. So if not now, at some point, they're going to need to take that very seriously.
How about other measures? I know, for instance, in San Francisco, they've added a litter fee of 60 cents to the cost of a packet of cigarettes. I mean, here in Australia, we have plain packaging. We have, you know, high taxes on cigarettes. Would that sort of thing help? I know it'll probably make smokers rather grumpy, but is that one suggestion that may work?
Well, yeah. I mean, for one thing, when you add a price to the cigarette, it reduces consumption. It's pretty clear economic relationship. But the other thing is that the litter fee does is it funds a program, educational cleanups, you know, administrative costs of a program. It doesn't just go into the general tax fund. So litter fees have that advantage. There are other things that could be done. Packages could be labeled. You know, we've shown that the cigarette butt waste is actually toxic and hazardous to fish and other wildlife. It may even bioaccumulate. And so having a warning label on it will help people think a little bit more, perhaps, about flicking their butt. Litter bins, you know, they may help a bit, but you even still see the cigarette butts scattered around the bin when people don't bother to use them. So that's not the panacea either.
What next, I mean, for your campaign?
Well, you know, the law that regulates tobacco here in the United States nationally expressly permits states and local jurisdictions to take it on, any kind of sales regulations. And recently, San Francisco banned the sale of menthol cigarettes. They got challenged royally by the tobacco industry. In fact, they put a ballot initiative onto the ballot by gathering and paid signatures. And it got defeated roundly. So now we have this model of banning the sale of menthol cigarettes. Same kind of approach could be used to ban the sale of filtered cigarettes at the local level if the state doesn't do it. And if enough counties, enough cities do that, the state is going to go, well, we should make it consistent. So that would be, I think, the stepwise approach. This is what worked when we instituted clean indoor air legislation to prohibit the indoor smoking to protect non-smokers. Started as local intervention and then progressed from there to state. And now it's part of the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control and International Treaty.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Thomas Novotny there, a professor of public health at San Diego State University and the founder of the Cigarette Butt Pollution Project. That's certainly some information I did not know until today. Cigarette butts. Who would have thought it? 0418 226 576 is our text line. You can also tweet us using the hashtag RNDrive.